Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
Good morning, good morning. The draft is tomorrow. It's now Wednesday. The Knicks get back on the floor tomorrow. It is now Wednesday. My cousin Malik's birthday is tomorrow. I think Malik is going to be 30, which is crazy. I remember going to the hospital when Malik was born. Shout out to Leak, yo. Shout out to young Leak. Keith McPherson on The Fan, 888-808. 1019 877 337 6666. No, that's the old number. We're going to talk sports, but I want to sprinkle in a couple things about the draft and the Knicks before we get back to the Mets and the Yankees. The Yankees lose the series. The Mets win the series. The Mets are rolling. The Yanks, they're good, but they could be better. What could be better than a draft in Green Bay? Probably every other draft. Why would you want to go to Green Bay and not be able to see the game? Not be able to see Lambeau? I guess you could take the tour, but if you're going to go to Wisconsin, have you guys ever been to Wisconsin? I've been to Miller Park. I'm one and done. Pfizer Forum, one and done. And I actually didn't go inside Pfizer Forum. I was out there and ate, whatever. Wisconsin's not that great. I don't think a lot of the players are even going to go to Wisconsin. Some are going to go, but some are not. And this draft, I think, is going to be a little quirky, a little different, a little crazy. I think there's a lot of smoke screens and a lot of things going on. But, you know, one, Ryan Poles, the GM of the Chicago Bears, said that, you know, he's picking at number 10. And he thinks this draft is going to be a little wild. And he expects a lot more movement than there has been in the past. And I think there's going to be a lot of movement, too, because you're supposed to draft the best available for certain needs. But I feel like in this NFL, man, everybody's trying to get ahead. Everybody's trying to take the next person's strategy. Like, for example, Ashton Jeanty, the running back out of Boise State, he's not Saquon Barkley. But I think somebody's going to try and reach for him, thinking they can plug him in and get the success that the Eagles had last year plugging in a Saquon Barkley. Cam Ward is going to be the number one pick to the Tennessee Titans. Is he better than Will Levis right now? Yeah, probably. But is he a Jaden Daniels type prospect or CJ Stroud level, like impact core? I don't know. I don't know. I think it's just a matter of the year. Like, if you remember a couple years back, Kenny Pickett, the pride of Ocean Township, go Big Red, that's my guy. Kenny Pickett was the first quarterback taken, but that was a lighter quarterback draft. We didn't see another quarterback taken until, not Will Levis, Malik Willis. So this year, Cam Ward's going to go one, and then is Shedeur Sanders going to be the guy that falls and drops and gets the camera on him like Lamar Jackson or like Aaron Rodgers, maybe. Those guys turned out great. Those guys turned into MVPs. I don't think the Giants should be taking Shador Sanders at three. And once the Giants pick and it's not Shador Sanders and he starts to slide, where will it stop? Who knows? The Giants can't take Shador Sanders right now. They can take him if they want to trade back into the first round and he falls past Vegas, which I think he will because they have Geno Smith. If he falls past New Orleans, I can't say that, you know, definitely that he's going to fall past Kellen Moore in New Orleans. But the Giants have to take the best available player that can make an impact for them now. And coming out of Philly, big-time Eagles fan, Darth Vader out of Penn State, Abdul Carter, is starting to make more and more sense. You got to rush the passer in this league. And if this guy is a generational pass rusher, like we see every year, guys go in the top 10 that are the top edge rushers, outside linebacker edge rusher, you can't miss with that. Even if you have guys. He might be better than Kayvon right now. He might be better than Chauncey Golson right now. So I think it's almost a done deal. There were rumors out there that the Browns are taking Travis Hunter at two, and Cleveland is the exact type of place to go experiment with Travis Hunter. What do they have to lose? And what do they know about football? Let the kid play every snap and special teams. 888-808-1019. Harvey's in Dix Hills on the Fan. What you doing up this late, Harvey?
I know. I got a time problem. That's a four-letter word. Or else I have a sore throat.
Okay, well, hopefully you feel better, but I'm glad you're able to join us.
I like to have a lot of fun with the draft. We'll see what we do. You know, everybody is an expert after the draft, so I try to make my decisions before the draft to see if I'm right or wrong. Shane, you know what I feel about Shane? A term of miscalculations. I've said that so many times. I listed so many of these miscalculations. I don't have confidence in him. He said he has flexibility because he has Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. That's nonsense, okay? Jameis Winston doesn't know the color of the opposite jersey. That's all I can tell you. And Russell Wilson is at the end of his career, which means that, in my opinion, and obviously you disagree with me, which is fine, you know, we both know football, and we're allowed to disagree. I believe that for years they've been in quarterback purgatory, and they have to use that number three pick if they can. Obviously, if they can trade off for Cam Ward, I don't think that'll happen. If they can, do it. On the other hand, they've got to take that quarterback, and obviously I have a different opinion about some of the quarterbacks. I think that Sanders is not as good as Jackson Dart. I believe that they should take Jackson Dart with a third pick. However, if they decide to take Abdul Carter with that number three pick, I can understand. Although he has a foot injury, I don't think he participated in the pro day, and that's a red flag. But let's assume that injury is minor. If they take Abdul Carter, that's where I think the draft comes in. And I was looking at, for example, the Steelers. Both of their quarterbacks are in New York, Justin Fields and Russell Carter. They don't have a quarterback. They're at 21. One of the mock drafts said the Giants are going to trade up to 8 because Carolina is advertising that pick to trade Shedeur Sanders. Well, that would take a lot of capital, okay? They could get Justin Dart, I think, maybe and beat out the Steelers because I think the Steelers are going to try to get Justin Dart. So let's say they trade up to 20. That would cost less, and they would have their, not only would they have Abdul Carter, but they also would have a potential franchise quarterback. What do you think about that?
Thanks for the call, Harvey. I'll let you go so you can listen and you can rest up. I know you got the sore throat, and that was a lot. You know, got some names kind of jumbled, but that's okay. I know what you meant. The Giants cannot take a quarterback at 3 overall. They are now putting out the images and videos from when they took Daniel Jones at 6 overall. One popped up on Instagram for me today, at Keith McPherson on Instagram.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast.
With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you go to my story 10 hours ago, Whistle Sports, shout out to them. I just did a feature with them. They posted Giants Stadium and the reaction when the Giants took Daniel Jones. And people were, oh my God, are you serious? If they take Shedeur Sanders, who all these people are saying is not a first-round grade, is not a top quarterback, is not, there's going to be a lot of moaning and groaning. There's going to be a lot of upset fans, especially because you just brought in Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, and we got the videos of them working out together. And all right, you got two NFL-caliber quarterbacks. They're not great, but they are NFL-caliber quarterbacks. They started games last year and won games last year, played against each other last year. Go ahead and take Abdul Carter. And I wouldn't be worried about his injuries. I wouldn't be worried about his foot. And I know he had a shoulder, too. Just go ahead and take him. Like, you got to hit on that pick. Now, when you talk about the number 8 pick with the Carolina Panthers, we know for a fact if there's one place that Joe Shane has a relationship, it's down there in Carolina. The Brian Burns deal, we got to see that in Hard Knocks last year that, you know, obviously Shane used to be down there with them, used to work there. Like, there might be some validity to that. And I think that's where you would have to get Shedeur Sanders, because at number 9, there's a good chance that, like, with what we know about Derek Carr and Kellen Moore coming in, there's a good chance that they take Shedeur Sanders. Spencer Rattler is not the guy. I don't know who else they might potentially have down there, like Taysom Hill, but he's not going to play. Like, he's going to be a gadget guy. That's why I think Jalen Milroe, if you guys haven't heard me, Jalen Milroe can come to a team this year and be Taysom Hill and evolve and become whatever. But like, he could be a Taysom Hill for the Giants. He could do things that Wilson and Winston can't do. But, you know, before we go back to the calls at 888-808-1019, if the Giants are thinking about trading up to that number 8 spot so that they can walk away from the first round, first day, tomorrow, April 24th, that night, and say that they got an A and they stole the draft and that they really made a move here and a push to beat, you know, get Abdul Carter at 3, trade your, I'm sure you're going to have to trade that second round pick, which is 34th overall, and maybe a pick next year. Maybe you can't give up your first round pick next year, maybe a second round, third round pick next year to move up and get Shedeur Sanders at 8 before the Saints take him off the board. And like I said, we know that the Panthers have a connection with Joe Shane. I don't know. I think they're gonna want more. You might have to give up like a second and a third next year. I wouldn't give up your first round pick. Anyway, 888-808-1019. Back to talking about the Mets, Luis Torrens, and Alvarez coming back to join the team and what happens when that happens. Mad Max in Lynbrook, you're on. You got it.
Hey, Keith, how are you? Can you hear me all right?
Yep, you're good.
All right, sir. I'm trying. It's been a while since I called. I'm trying not to scream because even in my car parked in my driveway, I will wake my house. But you touched on an interesting point, sir, that when you said you hit the nail, and I was thinking it, you said it, and that's why you're the best, Keith. Okay. You said this is a good problem to have with Torrens and Alvarez. I wholeheartedly agree, and I'll tell you why. Torrens right now is getting it done with the bat behind the plate. Alvarez coming back, like you said, he's still only 22, raw potential. He's got the potential to hit 20 to 30 home runs, which he almost did a couple of years ago. Like you said, that's a wonderful problem to have because you want to know why? And there's a lot of Mets fans who were sad when we cut this bum. But does anyone else remember slaving under the useless, the extremely useless waste of amoebas, the useless insta-out, Tomas, need-out? Not Nido, N-I-D-O, need-out, N-I-D-O-U-T. As a diehard Mets fan, okay, Paul LaDuca, Mike Piazza, Gary Carter, guys who could produce offense. Watching Tomas Nido, I could be completely full. I could have gorged myself on a 7-course meal. The fact that he's an automatic out with zero power used to make me hungry. And when I get hungry, I get angry. And people are like, oh, Mad Max, Thomas Nito's a nice guy. I'm like, I don't care that I'm a nice guy, too. I'm a gentleman. I mean, I could play pro ball, and I deserve to play. Thomas Nito is a .213 career hitter. He's a bum, and I'm glad he's gone. So like you said, sir, it's a great problem to have. It could always be worse. Remember Thomas Nito. And lastly, I'll close with this. Oh, Mad Max, that's not nice. What did Thomas Nito do to you? I'll tell you what he did to me. He gets out of bed every day. That causes harm. He exists. He was born. So like you said, sir, it's a wonderful problem to have. Bring on Torrens. And like another caller said, if you want to have Torrens catch, that's great. Put Alvarez at the DH, because I love Jesse Winker and I love Marte, but they're not getting it done. But just remember, Mets fans, it could always be worse. Remember that useless waste of molecules and insta-out Tomas Nito. Be well, Keith.
I mean, they call him Mad Max for a reason, huh? Because I didn't know that Mets fans hated Tomas Nito like that. I didn't know if you were going to bring up James McCann or Travis d'Arnaud. I didn't know where you were going to go. I mentioned Tomas Nito because when Alvarez went down in spring training, there were calls to the fan and people online saying, where's Tomas Nito? And I believe he's with the Tigers. He's not up with them. I think he's with their AAA team. But Tomas Need out, is that what he's calling? Is that a guy that was really a thorn in your side? I don't think Mets fans were really complaining about Tomas Nito. He was, but you don't have to worry about him. You don't have to worry about him. You have Luis Torrens, who is a diamond in the rough, who was a steal of a deal. And I really am now starting to think about, like, if Alvarez does come up and he's bringing that power, he's bringing, his swing that he's hitting the ball out, you could DH him. You could DH him. Winker and Marte haven't run away with this thing. You could definitely DH him. And I was saying to DH him anyway just to bring him along so he could see some pitches, get some at-bats, and then maybe catch once or twice a week. But these are good problems to have. You're about to run into some good problems where Jeff McNeil is back, and then you got to figure out what to do with your baby Mets, your young guys. I'm assuming Jose Huascar will be gone, and then you'll have some real decisions about the outfield, too. I know Jeff McNeil was playing center field, but Tyrone Taylor's your best option at center field. Jose Siri's going to be out for 10 weeks with a broken leg. Maybe you see Luis Angel Acuna out there. But I would, if Jeff McNeil's coming back and he's Jeff McNeil, I would put him at second base. Brett Beatty, you're on the bench. You're odd man out. And Vientos, obviously, at third. But these are good problems to have. There have been other years where you're wishing you had help on the way, or wishing for the deadline. And it seems right now that the Mets have more than enough guys to get it done. And again, their highest paid player, the best player arguably on the team, all this talk about it's Soto's team, and all this talk about Juan Soto and selling Juan Soto jerseys and the attraction that Juan Soto is going to be. It's funny how baseball works, right? It's still Lindor, it's still Pete, and any given night, somebody's going to have a good pitching performance out of the rotation, out of the bullpen. And then somebody's going to hit a home run or drive in runs, whether it's a Jesse Winker, whether it's a Luis Torrens, or like I said, the boy Jose Huascar out in left field tonight at the bottom of the order. Two hits. Good. Take advantage of the opportunities you get when you get them. And then also with Soto, I said this last week during some of my shows. I'm like, Soto's getting so much attention. It has taken the attention off of Mark Vientos. It has taken the attention off of Brett Beatty. And they were able to come through. They were able to, make some plays and then carry that over to the plate where it was like, okay, their little bit of slump that they had, it was really just early on, their, early on struggles was masked by Juan Soto, Juan Soto's batting .233. It isn't that Juan Soto has been bad. He just hasn't been himself. He hasn't been what we've seen. He hasn't been what we've expected. 12 RBI for Juan Soto is not enough. I think Pete has 24 RBI I was seeing tonight. Have we played 25 games? We played 24 games. Let me double check that to make sure. 888-808-1019. Yeah. So Pete Alonso has 25 RBI. I shorted one. He's tied with Aaron Judge and Kyle Tucker. Wouldn't it be grand if all three of them are playing in New York next year? Probably only one will be here. The one that's signed. The one that's locked in. Ross in Bergen County, back on the Fan in New York.
Keith, what's up, man? Been a minute.
Yeah, I know you've been sleeping. You've been going to class. You've been getting up and going to school in the morning. You've been hitting your books and going to bed. Good job.
That's actually been Easter break for wrapping up the year. Hey, really quick, that last call. He ran out. He got Nito somewhere in Detroit pulling the Jeff and Fitty sound, like what they say F me for. Man, oh, man. I thought Nito probably said he's never going to get name dropped here again.
50 Cent. What'd he say F me for?
He's not wrong. And I didn't have a problem with Nito personally, but I can't remember how many lineups that year you'd see with Nito, and then another one was Luis Guillorme. Every other night would be batting 7-8, and he'd go for 4-3, three ground outs into double plays. But look, there's really not much to complain about right now. Obviously, I mean, Lindor, you want to talk about with the Soto ovation, no ovation, boo, no boo type thing. I mean, how long has it been since those are the discussions we were having about Lindor when he first got here, name dropping the money he was making per year and everything? And so I was actually at the game last night and just seeing up close up front wide, seeing the way this guy approaches at bats now, it's magical, man. And I think in a league now where you see so many great shortstops in the league, names to the likes of Witt, Gunnar, obviously. The fact that I don't think there's a case to be had that he's better than Witt, but I think every other great shortstop in the league, he's right up there. And I think, who knows, if he keeps up at this pace, he might be there with Witt. Because, I mean, what do you have? Like, he's the third Met ever I saw to hit back-to-back lead-off homers to lead off a game, two-homer game the other night. Obviously, the first walk-off, it took long enough, first walk-off homer in a Met uniform. And this year will probably be his first All-Star appearance in a Met uniform, which is hard to believe. But
yeah,
he's been unreal, man.
I have in my notes from SNY Mets, no player in the National League has been more valuable than Francisco Lindor over the last calendar year. His F war is 8.6. And I remember using that last year in my case of saying he should be MVP over Ohtani. Not for nothing, Ohtani is not pitching anymore. So all the hype that came with Ohtani being this unicorn, he is not pitching. He didn't pitch last year. And honestly, to me, the whole 50-50 thing, I guess, but for Lindor to be the leadoff hitter, for Lindor to be the shortstop, for Lindor to sometimes carry the team on his back because he does not have as many stars as the LA Dodgers have, like he's to me, he's more of an MVP than Shohei Ohtani.
Well, it's the second MVP Ohtani's stolen. I think you go back to 2020. It was 21. The year he took it from Vladdy. Look at Vladdy's numbers. The only reason Ohtani won it was because of the whole pitching thing. And I think it's kind of BS. I mean, you look at it going into each and every year, you're going to say automatically, as long as the guy looks at one pitch in the batter's box and throws one pitch in the mound, he's automatically the MVP. I mean, my guy, I mean, got a whole other Ohtani, tangent. He's got guys like Pablo Sandoval, Joey Gallo's trying to be a pitcher now. I mean, he's legit trying to ruin the sport. We don't talk about it enough. And people are making asses out of themselves trying to turn it to pitchers. And I mean, we're never Joey Gallo, I think. We see him trying
Brett
to turn
Phillips,
it to pitcher.
I think Brett Phillips, who used to play
that's
for
another
the
one, yeah.
He's like, I'm going to pitch.
I think it's Chester Cuthbert or something. I'm blanking on the name. You know what I'm talking about? There's another one. I think he was a Brave. There's another one out there, though, and it's more so hitters trying to turn into pitchers now rather than the other way around. Anthony Ghost is another one. I don't know if you remember him. I think he was a guardian, a Mariner, outfielder for a couple of years. He turned into a pitcher. I mean, it's a joke. And if the day I see Joey Gallo throw a legitimate pitch in the MLB, I'll start to worry about the future of the league. I'm not talking about pace of the game.
He ain't got the head for it. He'll be worse than Carlos Rodon. He ain't got the mental capacity to pitch.
Danish Cookie Carrasco. Unbelievable, man. I mean, how about that? At least you guys got Fried going for you. I know the whole thing about the hit error, whatever. I didn't watch
it. And Max Fried has been better than I realized. Fielding his position, picking off his pickoff move, his pitch mix. He can throw anything. He is like an artist out there. He's dominant out there, and
he's been great.
I am I didn't want to say this on air, but now I'm thinking it. And I did have this conversation with someone off air. I want the Yankees to win the World Series every single year, right? I don't think they're winning it this year. I don't think the Mets are winning it this year either. I've said that on air. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But when you see what Max Fried is and what you know Gerrit Cole is, and you know that you're not going to have them both this year, isn't next year the year when Cole comes back, whenever he comes back, and they're saying he's going to be ahead of schedule? Like, I'm dreaming of a 1-2 punch of Gerrit Cole and Max Fried, and maybe we, you know, figure out some other things here. And Judge is turning 33 in 3 days, and he's in the prime of his career. He's off to the best start of his career. So he'll still be Judge next year. They, I don't know. The Yankees window is more open than people really want to say. I just saw somebody in my chat like, this window is slamming shut. No, it's not.
No, I mean, you look at the league. I saw a stat, I mean, it was a couple of weeks ago, probably outdated now. There's only three teams in the whole league with a positive run differential. There's you, Tampa, and Detroit. Now, this probably changed since then, but just overall, it's probably not drastic. I mean, you look at the Central and the West could go to anybody. Even the East. I mean, look at Boston. Baltimore are going to have
funny.
Really no consensus.
Funny you mentioned that, Ross, because I was looking at the standings and I was looking at the entire Major League. It is for a plus run differential, it's the Mets at the top at 35, plus 35. The Padres, it's like the whole NL West. The Padres, the Dodgers, the Giants, the Diamondbacks. Throwing the Cubs.
Yeah.
And then it's the Tigers, Yankees, and then also, I mean, it's really those teams. The rest of the teams, as you get down there, they're a few runs over where, you know, it can change.
Yeah.
It can change.
How about really one more quick thing on Fried? You talk about him kind of being overlooked, I guess, and to the last couple of years, obviously, with Strider, and it's looking like, I don't want to speak for the future, because you never know, obviously, you know, how poetic it was in 22. The NL East is over, and obviously all the comparisons, so they got that. Well, we got the five-borough race, they got the Flash, and he was basically, you know, the picture form of how the standings went that year, a little bit three-month head start, and they wound up winning the division anyway. So I'm not going to get too antsy yet, obviously, with their slow start, but so far, they're a train wreck. Strider was started off hurt, came back, then he tore his hammy or something, warming up. You got the thing with Kelenic now and Acuna. By the way, Acuna is one of the funnier accounts in terms of players in the league on Twitter. Yeah, I don't know if you ever saw the tweet, I never say that, with the clown emojis. And now he's talking about how if he was the one, you know, kind of sandbagging it to first, he would have gotten benched, but Kelenic wouldn't.
Yep.
I mean, they're as much of a disaster as they'll ever be right now. You got to get them while they're down. And one last quick thing, I appreciate it all the time, man. Diaz. Legitimate problem. I think we're kind of nitpicking for problems right now with how good they are, how hot they are right now. But, you know, every time Diaz might be the first pitcher ever to have so-and-so amount of saves and a two-digit ERA. I mean, what's his ERA right now? 9-10? He gets the saves every single time. I think that's kind of why the stat's being outlawed. But, man, oh, man, is he a disaster. And he's the reason that point differential isn't higher than it should be. Every time he comes into a five-run game, somehow makes it a save situation, makes it a one-run final. So he's a disaster, man. Him and Bridges, the two punching bags right now in the city. Appreciate the time, man.
Thanks for the call, Ross. It's funny you mentioned Bridges. Devin wants to talk Knicks. The rest of my calls are all Giants draft. So what we'll do here is take a break. When we come back, we'll go to Devin to talk Knicks, but then we're going to really start to hit the Giants draft. It's so important. I mean, the Jets are just going to take the kid out of Missouri, the tackle, quietly, and they're going to stay quiet. But, I mean, I just really hope the Giants don't get crazy here and trade back or be crazy enough to take Shador Sanders and make, I don't know. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to AM returns right after this.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Diaz on the first base side of the rubber. Rests the glove on his left thigh. Looks into Alvarez. Diaz still staring in. Comes set. The 1-2 pitch. Swung out and missed strike three. Put it in the books. And to the New York Mets, California, here we come.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And here we go. Hello. Back to the show. Now we're going to lock in on the NFL draft and talk to all the Giants fans. But first, I said we'd go and talk Knicks with Devin out in Long Beach. What's up, Devin?
Hey, good morning. What's up, Keith? How you doing?
Good morning. Thanks for checking in.
I do want to talk Knicks, but can I just do a quick Mets housekeeping, because the people ahead of me have been great.
Yeah.
The caller from Flushing, what's her name, Miriam? I love when she calls. Is that right?
Yes, Miriam from Forest Hills.
God, you know Olivia Soprano, Tony's mom.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear her, I picture Olivia, but a positive version, but a nice person.
I never connected those two. But now I am. I have no idea what Miriam looks like. Shout out to Miriam, though.
No, she's the best. Really enjoyed when she called in. And yeah, the Mets have just been great, but it's early. I did the math. I suck at math. We're 14% into the season. And the Mets, you know, let's just enjoy it and keep showing up. And with that, Mendoza has been, like, reading the guys phenomenally and plugging and placing. And really encouraging along the way. It's been great.
Man, he should have been manager of the year. I got a ton of respect for him, the way he carries himself. And like I said, more managers should do what he does, where he goes against the book. He goes against conventional thinking, and he says, I'm going to leave this guy in, or I'm going to trust Luis Severino to finish this game, or I'm not going to pinch hit Luis Torrens. I'm going to give him this opportunity to come through, because all of these guys are human. They're competitors. They have a heartbeat, and the game has a feel and a heartbeat to it. The Mets end up blowing that game open, and you know, you can kind of look at the manager and say he had his hand on this.
If we keep this pace, he'll take the manager of the year this year, and then that'll be all that matters. With that Mendoza comment, I love Tibbs. I'm going to use that to transition now. I think some more minutes can be dispersed. Now, when I've been watching the last two playoff games and the end of the regular season, I got to shut up the people I'm watching with and tell them you're an idiot for wanting to fire Tibbs. And then I'm just grabbing myself and freaking out about what he's doing at the same time. I want to see more from Mitchell Robinson. I think that he's played 20 minutes in the first game, 18 minutes. Maybe a lineup with OG, Cat, Mitch, Hart, like just really locking in on these people. And also Brunson, we want to make a push. I think you can shave some minutes in the first half for him. You know, we need him in closing time, and it, you know, really try some of these larger lineups maybe in the first half.
Yep. Okay, I'm gonna jump in with you just before you finish. You know, I was kind of disappointed and kind of, I don't know, just rubbed the wrong way by how many people, after one loss in a series, the first loss, like it wasn't the first game, it's the second game, it's the first loss at home, okay, the series started. I was kind of looking with a side eye at people online and people calling the fan today that were ready to quit on the coach and also starting to turn on the captain. It doesn't make any sense. You need both of those guys to get out of this series. You need both of these guys to win this series. And my boy Dre, who's a listener to WFAN all day and is also a Knicks fan, he tweeted at me during the day today. He said, what did I tweet you during the show? And it was Knicks Muse putting up that the last time Thibodeau faced JB Bickerstaff in the playoffs, they won game one, they lost game two, then they went on to win every game the rest of the way. It was Knicks in five. So what you're suggesting and what you're talking about, it's a series. When you're playing the same team every game, you can't play them the same way. You have to give them different looks. You got to ride with something else. So what we saw with campaign in the first game and how they went on that 21-0 run, you can't go back to the well and expect that to happen, because they are going to adjust. They went with Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges had opportunities to take the lead, to hit some shots and win the game. It didn't work.
He was nice for most of the game. You know, I really thought there was a chance that, like, I saw Knicks win if Mikal could scratch a 30 game. And he had some good shots, and he was hitting things. I bet
they're done with that, though. I bet you he will not be taking shots in the final minutes of winning time, those last 4 to 5 minutes. It will be Brunson.
Do you remember him chasing some balls? Like, he was active on defense and, like, speaking to the first half, the first three quarters. The closing lineup can be different, but this is a deep team. I want to see more minutes for Mitchell Robinson. And my closing thought, game one, 28 minutes. Game two, 21 minutes for Kenny Hardaway Jr. I want to see that tripled if possible. The more minutes, Timmy Hardaway Jr. He's been great for the Knicks, and we'd love to see him
Penny,
out there on the
who
floor.
Is Penny Hardaway Jr.? Campaign?
No, we don't have Penny. Penny is a unique. I think Isaiah Thomas is the last bit of maybe Jalen. I got to say, but Timmy Hardaway Jr.
Timmy Hardaway
the,
Jr.
Yeah, I was just trying to goof on Timmy. When he's on the floor, good things happen for the Knicks.
Yeah, he was cheeks in the last game. Thanks for the call, Devin. I thought you were talking about Lil Penny. Y'all remember Lil Penny? Remember those commercials? That's a Wash reference. I'm dating myself. I'm showing my age. But when you mention that, I'm like, are they talking about Campaign? Campaign is Mr. Chopped. No, I'm really chopped though. Like I'm really chopped. If you know, you know. Type. Anyway, just expect to see a different look. That like. I just think we get into this mentality bugs me out, but I get it, and it festers here in New York. It is not the NFL, you know. In the NBA, it's a series. If you lose it, you can lose up to three games in a series. Some of the best series, the team that wins loses three games. This mentality of it's do or die every game. It's not sudden death. It's not single elimination. It's not 162 one-game seasons in baseball. It's a series. So you gotta get data. You gotta see how your opponent reacts, what they do. It's gonna be tough for the Knicks game one in Detroit. That place is gonna be on fire. But I think that's what this Knicks team needs. They need the challenge of that. Not the comfort of Madison Square Garden and Celebrity Row and everybody behind them thinking, we got this. And no, go be the enemy. Go step into Little Caesars Arena where all of Detroit is going to be out. Everyone from Kid Rock to Eminem to Amon-Ra St. Brown to T. Grizzly to, I don't know, D12, maybe Bizarro pull up. Like, go over there and step into that environment and shock them. Take that first game on their home floor and adjust. It can happen. Carl Anthony Towns, be more aggressive. Like, can we see Precious Achiuwa? I think we will. I liked his energy when he dunked on Isaiah Stewart and then kind of shouldered him or chest bumped him into the stand. Like, I just think you're going to see a different look from the Knicks in their rotations and what they're like. That's another thing. Like, so many people calling for, Tibbs has got to call timeout and call and draw up a play. Sometimes you don't want to stop the flow of the game. Sometimes you trust your guys. You have two all-star starters on the floor against the Detroit Pistons. Carl Anthony Towns, shrunk, and Brunson, that's another thing. I don't know how y'all are quitting on Brunson when this guy took less money, when this guy is compromised. He's hurt. He's playing on an ankle where he's got to go and adjust his shoes or get retaped or something. He's, you know, he's feeling that at the end of the game. So I don't know. I'm not a Knicks fan. So maybe that's my vantage point. I have a different vantage point not being a Knicks fan. But like, you got to get out of this first round. You cannot lose to the Pistons. So positive thoughts, positive energy. You lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. You could win the next four. You don't even need to win the next four. You could win the next three. Series, Knicks in five. Even though I told you Knicks in six, that's still very much alive. Win one in Detroit, and then don't lose another one. And that's a long stretch. I meant to check the Knicks flight, because you know they have like that like pro flights account. Because I just kept thinking about like the Knicks being in Detroit today, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So that's 5 days to be in Michigan. It's not ideal. Anyway, the draft is in Wisconsin. That's also not ideal. And now we'll get into the conversation around this Giants draft. This Giants draft is going to make or break careers. This Giants draft is so important to the success of this Giants team this year. They need to hit again. They hit on a few players that were able to contribute last year. Malik Nabers, home run. You know, guys like Tyler Newbin, Andrew Phillips, Theo Johnson, Tyrone Tracy, great. Do it again. And then you don't want to be picking in the top six. Let's go to Tim in West Orange on the Fan as we switch to talking about the Giants in the NFL draft. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Hey, Keith, how you doing this morning?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Before I get to my point about the Giants, I just wanted to wonder what your takes on the Devils' playoffs so far. And do you think we are in trouble yet, or do you think the Devils still have a chance to beat the Hurricanes?
I don't think they're beating the Hurricanes. I was scared as they finished the regular season and couldn't win games. I was pumped up when Jesper Bratt scored, like, because the Hurricanes in that first game, they lit the lamp in the first like 3 minutes. So I was pumped when the game started with Jesper Bratt scoring at like, you know, 3-4 minutes in, 3:51 or something like that. But then it just, like, I don't know. It's just a long game of not being able to. I know they played better, but I just don't think they can win, man. I just think the Canes, this is what they do. Markstrom can play as well as he can, but just, you know, I don't think they have the answers for them. I'm hoping that they don't get swept. I know that Devils fans are going to show up Friday, and I'm hoping that Friday is lit up over there at the Rock. But I don't know. I don't have that much confidence.
I got you. My point was calling about the Giants and the draft. I think they're going to take Abdul Carter at number 3, or whoever. If Cleveland takes Carter, what would you think of the Giants getting Travis Hunter at 3? And then trading to the 8th pick to get Shador to reunite Carter and Sanders on the Giants. I wanted to know what your take on what if they could do something like that.
Yeah, they definitely could do that. Thanks for the call, Tim. 888-808-1019. Travis Hunter, I saw something today. My guy Dan Duggan put out a tweet where, and we'll go through this real quick, and then I'll take another call on the Giants. You know, the new numbers, right, the new jersey numbers that the Giants will be wearing this year. Obviously, the new incoming Giants, as well as some other Giants that are changing their numbers. Like, Andrew Phillips is changing his number from, I think, 22 to 27. Actually, let me pull it up so I'm not incorrect. And I know Slayton is changing from 86 to 18, so he's immediately going to look that much faster. Yeah, I'm correct. Newbin is going to wear 27. And Slayton is going to wear 18. So as, you know, Dan Duggan writes, he says, the only number available for a potential drafted QB is 12, unless the Giants unretire a number again. I don't know if they're going to do that again. But you're right. All the talk about them taking a quarterback, all these numbers are taken, man. People talk about the Yankees not having any numbers. Like, what number? He's, you know, 12. I'm like, I immediately thought, you know who wears number 12 that's not a quarterback that might be on the board? Travis Hunter. And they would sell a ton of number 12 blue jerseys because Travis Hunter already has millions of fans. So Javon Holland's going to wear number 8. So your Daniel Jones jersey, you can write Holland on the back like the Holland Tunnel. Jameis Winston's going to wear 19 because there's no numbers. There's no numbers. I mean, Russ had to buy the number 3 off of Deontay Banks, and I think Deontay Banks took number 2. Paulson Adebo is going to wear Tiki Barber's number, 21. Jones is going to wear Jason Sehorn's 31. Chauncey Golston's going to wear 57. Forsythe's going to wear 70. Lil Jordan Humphrey's going to wear 81. Zach Pascal, 83. So, yeah, the Giants put out some of their new jersey numbers. And it leads you to believe, hey, if they're drafting another quarterback, what numbers are you going to wear? There's no numbers left for these guys to wear. Let's go to Palisades Park. Frank, you're on the Fan. You got it.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I've been listening to a lot of people keep saying that Tennessee is guaranteed to select Cam Ward. I don't understand why. We could have sworn Mike Mongante, the GM, stated in a press release that they will not pass on a generational talent. And neither Cam Ward nor Shador Sanders is regarded as a generational talent at quarterback. The only one that fits the bill is Travis Hunter. So I think they're just trying to throw up a red herring there. I think they're going to go for Travis Hunter, which then will leave Cam Ward and Shador Sanders at number 2 for Cleveland to either decide between or take Abdul Carter, which leaves the Giants in a problem.
So, and thank you for the call, Frank. This is how it's played out, and it's a lock now. It is a lock. Mike Borgonzi, if you remember correctly, he interviewed for the Jets GM position. He came out of the Chiefs organization. And it's been, I think, months now since he made that comment about not passing on a generational talent. And I think that was just him very early on. I think that quote actually came from his like intro press conference or maybe in the days after it. I think actually getting into the building and speaking to the coaches, speaking to Callahan, and actually talking to Brian Callahan, Bill Callahan's son, about what they were going to do there. Mason Rudolph left, and they have no quarterback. Will Levis, Brian Callahan hates Will Levis. just from what I could see last year, he is not a fan of Will Levis. He inherited Will Levis. He didn't draft him. I don't think he wants him. And I don't think that he wants to go into his second year as a coach where, you know, his first year wasn't great. I don't think he wants to go into his second year as a coach with Will Levis and everything riding on Will Levis making the right decisions and not turning over the ball. Now, I don't believe that Cam Ward is a generational talent. I think he's just a product of a quarterback light draft where he is now the clear-cut number one. I thought he was a good player this year from what I saw from him. And I like his story and his journey from Incarnate Word to Washington State to Miami for 1 year. Miami was undefeated for a little while. But I don't know if he's a generational talent that Mike Borgonzi is speaking of. I think after he put his head together with the head coach and they talk personnel, they are not in a position right now to have the number one overall pick and pass on the number one rated quarterback in this draft. It's right there. I was screaming a couple weeks about the Giants, how dumb the Giants were, losing 10 games in a row and then losing the number one pick, where it would have been right there for you to draft Cam Ward. Keep the number one pick, draft Cam Ward, then you don't even have to sign Jameis Winston or Russell. You could sign any backup or whatever. You could have signed one. You could have signed Jameis Winston to start a couple games and eventually go to Cam Ward. Also, Cam Ward is young, and I love social media. I love the fact that we even have these things like Twitch. And, you know, he was on a Twitch stream, and they were asking him, who's his favorite running backs in the NFL? He says Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. And he said those were the best running backs in the NFL. Those guys aren't respected TP playmaker, former Dallas Cowboy. He's not top 15 running back in the NFL. Maybe not even top 20. Tajay Spears, you wouldn't even pick him up on the waiver wire as your running back two after, you know, Christian McCaffrey goes down and you know what I'm saying? So why is he on his Twitch stream telling whoever he's talking to that? Then they asked him about his favorite wide receivers in the league, and someone was asking him like what he thought about AJ Brown, and he said, yeah, AJ Brown is no Calvin Ridley. What? I'll take A.J. Brown over Calvin Ridley every day. Now, Calvin Ridley can boogie. He's fast. He's a good route runner. But A.J. Brown is fast, a good route runner. He's a monster. He's big, fast, strong. And if he had a better quarterback, we would really get to see him. So I just think there's a lot pointing to Cam Ward going to Tennessee. Of course he is. I watched his pro day. His pro day, Brian Callahan had a smile so wide on his face. He just dapping him up. And the Tennessee Titans assistant coaches are like dapping him up. And like Cam Ward said something like, you know, like today I'm just going to solidify it. That like I'm the number one pick, that I'm the best player quarterback in the draft, that I'm going to the Titans. So Mike Borgonzi saying that they weren't going to pass on a generational talent. And all of us thinking the generational talent is the two-way player, the unicorn, the Heisman Trophy winner, Travis Hunter, that plays offense and defense, that's the guy? No, because that doesn't help the Titans as much as a Cam Ward will. I think they like Cam Ward. They're taking Cam Ward. 888-808-1019. I think the Browns are the perfect place for Travis Hunter to go experiment. Because what do they have to lose? Like those idiots gave the most guaranteed money at the time to Deshaun Watson. What do they have to lose? Adam Schefter reported, is this a fake account? Yeah, it's a fake account. So almost got fake Shefty'd. But there were some rumors online. I don't know who reported them. This count is fake. But there's rumblings online that Travis Hunter is going to go number two overall to the Cleveland Browns. The Giants are on the clock. Who are the Giants going to take? Abdul Carter, the best pass rusher. Another guy that they think might be generational, might be a gold jacket type. Can't take Shador there anymore. Can't take a third string quarterback project that might not pan out. Can't do it. Won't do it. And if you do it, you better have some kind of crazy plan after that. Better have some crazy plans after that. Take Abdul Carter. It is what it is. It materialized. Even though I think it is kind of weird, he's a diehard Eagles fan. Kid is from Philly. Was just repping the Eagles. But once they get in the NFL, all that is supposed to be gone anyway. Once they get in the NFL, all that's gone. You also can't reach for Jackson Dart at three. Take the best player available. And if you want to trade back into the first round because Shador or Jackson Dart drops, nobody would be mad at you for that. I think that is very doable as well. But yeah, Cam Ward, if the Giants wanted him, they shouldn't have beat the Colts. I think it's a lock that Cam Ward is with the Tennessee Titans. Number one pick, put the card in. Travis Hunter, number two pick, put the card in. And then number three, Abdul Carter to your big blue G-man. And then we'll see when some movement starts. You don't trade one of those top picks either. Like, obviously, we saw the report today that both the Browns and Giants were, fielding calls to trade back. That was what the rumor was today. Of course they are. The Browns and Giants are fielding calls for picks number two and three. Yeah, they should answer every call. But ultimately, if they don't get a package good enough to move back, you take those talented players and then you plug them in. And then you develop them and you work on them and they can help you this year. So 888-808-1019, my last hour coming up. When we come back, tell me something cool and I'll sprinkle in some more stuff from my notes that we haven't talked about. But we're talking about the draft. We're still talking about the Mets and the Yankees and, of course, the Knicks too before the Knicks get back on the floor in Detroit for Game 3. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back after this.